Good evening. Welcome to the Watford Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. And we're going to be doing it for the very last time. It's the last time we're going to hear that little song in a little while, isn't it?
Well, it's been the last time. Well, no, we've been fortunate enough to hear it every week. Certainly for the last, what, five weeks?
Mm.
And maybe next season someone at Watford will knock on the door and be like, look, you need Zed Cars back. You want a good season. So hopefully next season we'll get Zed Cars back at the start and when we walk out and here as well.
So it is last week.
Yes.
You know, it's a season review show tonight. So we will go through month by month and talk about some of the big results, some of the big memories, all the lowlights as well from that year. But what are you going to be doing, guys, for the next, six or so weeks off? What are you going to do? What are you going to do on your Sunday evenings?
Well,
it can't be better than being sat here with me, can it?
Well, no.
Obviously.
We'll be tuning into whatever Love Sport put on in our absence.
That's the answer.
That's the official line, isn't it?
Rubbish.
in all seriousness, I've managed to get I've been very fortunate to get a couple of tickets to Cricket World Cup.
Yep.
What else we got on? Might be going to Sweden for a weekend. But other than that, I'm going to enjoy my weekend.
Well-earned break.
Going to enjoy my weekend, spend some time with girlfriend and friends. So, yeah, going to be good.
Yeah. Going to the Cricket World Cup as well. One of my mates sold me a ticket last minute, so I'm really pleased about that.
Face value?
Face value. you know, it's good. It's a group game. Bangladesh, New Zealand. Two teams you're never going
to
see.
I'm going to that one too.
Oh, really?
I'll see you there.
Oh, I'm networking. That's what I like. And then a bit of travelling. Yeah. And just a bit of time off after what has been an intensive season.
Yeah, it is. So let's cast our minds back, shall we? All the way to August last year.
Mm.
Hopes for it all, I suppose, because this has been. I've done the full season as well with you. I'm trying to kind of cast my mind back to perhaps how I thought your season would go, and it started incredibly well, didn't it?
It started brilliantly. I don't think any Watford fan anticipated the start that we had, because I remember we were doing sort of the preview shows beforehand, and we had some fans comment that they were worried about relegation, that we hadn't done enough in the transfer window. And I wasn't worried about relegation, but I was certainly on that side of the fence that I didn't think we'd done enough in the transfer window. And I was a little bit worried going into the season. I thought we'd be safe, but I didn't think we'd achieve like a top half finish or have the season that we have done. So I was a little bit concerned. But then heading into August, the start that we had, it was 4 wins from 4, wasn't it, Matt?
It was indeed. And I think we're all a little bit apprehensive back in August. I think, as Andy's right to say, all of those sort of nerves were washed away with that month that we had. And, you know, right up to the way I look at it was being in the top four and beating Tottenham, come from behind. That's the memory that sticks in my mind. Deeney bullying Davinson Sanchez and Craig Cathcart popping up with a goal as well, being kind of highlight of that month. And really just, I didn't think we did enough business either. I thought we'd probably finish 12th or 13th. I thought, you know, we're an outsider for top 10. But I think this season probably exceeded expectations. Perhaps a little bit disappointing as it sort of the last month went, falling out of contention for top 10 was disappointing. But I think if you view it in isolation, it's been a pretty good season for us.
It's been fantastic. It was so much fun after those opening four games, like the hype around us, you know, are we going to do a Leicester? That's always going to be the comparison now, isn't it? When a team like Watford do well to start off with. But then the first defeat of the season, unfortunately, came against another one of the big sides, against Manchester United. And it sort of set the tone, I guess, for the rest of the season and the games of the Big Six, in that we actually played pretty well. Maybe had, I think it was 2 goals in the space of 3 minutes in the first half. Just fell asleep, really. Shouldn't have been behind going into half time. And then second half, we came at them. Gray pulled the goal back, but it just wasn't enough, and kind of just set the tone for the games against those big sides for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it did. I don't think with the exception of maybe the Liverpool games where we were probably outplayed in both, you know, we played pretty well against the top six. That's the only frustration. We've come on leaps and bounds in terms of our ability to be competitive. I think Luther Blissett talked extensively about this pre-FA Cup final, is that that's the thing we've learnt more this season, is our ability to close out games, ability to kind of, game management's been very good. And disappointing thing is the end of the season kind of let ourselves down in that regard, because we kind of, our ability to kind of be clinical in front of goal and manage games kind of fell away. But it, for most of the season, we did really well. And I think the top six games, I think Tottenham set the tone, and we kind of carry that over in terms of the performances against Manchester United, but didn't get the result, and it kind of, as Andy says, it kind of set the tone.
First away game of the season, Burnley. Was this the, it was, a, was an the, important moment in your life?
It was.
It was,
yeah.
Wasn't it? So explain again, because I remember this.
So for any, excuse me, so on paper it's just an away victory, but for me this was one of my most memorable days in my 20 odd years following Watford. So for those who don't know, before this season started anyway, I have had a Northwest curse, in that my first game following Watford in the Northwest was at Anfield in 05. And since then, I'd been to 25 games in the Northwest, hadn't seen Watford win. I've seen red cards, penalties, the lot. It's been miserable. But on that day, Burnley away, 19th of August, Watford were fantastic in the second half and blew the Clarets away. And we ended up 3-1 winners. And to just top what was already a fantastic day off, got a little shout out on Match of the Day
the
evening as well. So I was watching that about... I was probably about 30 seconds behind everyone else because of my rubbish Wi-Fi in my flat. And my phone just started going off. I'm still watching the highlights and everyone's like, Andrew. It was maybe my sister calls me Andrew. And I was like, what on earth is going on? And then caught up with the show. And yeah, that was an incredible day to be a Watford fan and just experience, you know, what Graham Taylor spoke about, like Watford being a family community club. It was an awesome day.
But not your only TV appearance this year. How many times have you been on TV this year? And not even about football, because you went on Tipping Point as well, didn't you?
Do you know what? Highlight, by the way.
No, I completely forgot. I remember seeing it, not actually watching it, on your Twitter account. Mm. I don't think we even ever mentioned this or discussed it.
I'm glad we didn't, because I was rubbish.
I didn't see it. I've got to see it.
How have we not seen it? Have none of us seen this?
No, I got a question about football wrong.
Yeah. No, so can you remember the question? You must.
No, I can't. Well, vaguely remember the question.
It was wake up with cold sweat in the night and say whatever the answer was. Yes, but Blomqvist.
What was the noise? Like the first round. So it was a really fun day. This was filmed all like last year. So yeah. I had to wait like a year before it got aired. And the first round went really well. I answered like five out of the first six questions.
Yeah.
To the point where Ben Shepherd had to say it's time for someone else to have a go now, Andy. Oh, sorry, Ben. It was really nice, by the way.
Yeah.
And then second round had a bit of a shocker. I got questions about Cinderella, right, and Miley Cyrus. What decade was she born in? And then got a question about Wimbledon wrong. I live 5 minutes from the courts. Like I can see court one from my window. And then the football one was. It was the name of an Italian trophy. Which country does this football trophy originate from?
Okay.
I didn't have a clue. And so got it wrong, went out in round two. But it was good fun.
Any other TV appearances? Have you done a couple of other BBC shows as well?
I was on... Kate and I were on Football Focus.
On Football Focus, Tipping Point.
Match of the Day. Do my BT Sports stuff.
Who's your agent?
Yeah, I'm
serious. No one at the moment.
I mean, you're getting more TV work than any of us.
I'm not getting paid for it, Jake. So,
one day. when that game, the win at Burnley, did that? Because obviously, when you start the season well with the first victory, Roberto Pereira scored the two goals opening day. It was a home game against Brighton. You're thinking, brilliant, perfect way to start the season. But did expectations then change in your minds when you went to Burnley 1-3-1? You think actually, whatever we were thinking going into the season, perhaps I've kind of underestimated us a little bit.
I think so, in a way. I remember actually when the fixtures came out, because I was doing some work with the Watford Reserve at the time, and I remember having a conversation with the sports desk, and we were saying, you know, if I remember rightly, that the Burnley away game is almost, that's almost a test of where we are so early in the season, because, you know, the cliche is that Burnley away is so difficult, and the fact that we, you know, as Andy said, we turned it on in the second half, I think that kind of, you know, suddenly you got two wins from two. It's no longer, oh my God, we've got to go to Burnley. We've got 3 points at Burnley, a notoriously tough place to go. Yes, they had Europa League, yes, whatever. But they were a team that finished in Europa League places last year, had a great season under Sean Dyche, notoriously tough to break down. And I thought from that moment, you know, that you know, to start with two wins is just unbelievable. And I thought momentum's a wonderful thing, and we've kind of carried that over in that first month, and as the results indicate.
I think for me, it was after the Spurs victory, because I think after the Burnley game, yes, it was incredible for me personally, but like you said, they had come back from that Europa League game on the Thursday night, and that can play a part. They'd already started their season maybe 3-4 weeks before we had.
Yeah, it started in basically July, didn't it?
Back end of July, yeah.
Insane.
And so after the Spurs game, you know, a famous win, but we deserved it. And I think that was the point where I was genuinely not concerned about having a season of looking over our shoulder. I think that was the point for me.
Well, we are going to continue to go through Watford's season, talk about these highs, lows, and various other memories from it. Is the last time the guys are going to be with us in the studio until the start of the new season. You listen to the Watford Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport.
Just got the highlights on Sky Sports at the moment from the playoff game earlier. Charlton, of course, getting promoted back to the Championship, beating Sunderland. Dramatic, dramatic scenes. Of course, that means one of our London clubs gets promoted. So congratulations, Charlton. Looking forward to speaking to you next season. But just quickly, on the first goal, right, Naby Sarr, Dylan Phillips, whose fault is it?
It's goalkeepers.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I mean, the goalkeeper could do better, right? But do you not think Naby Sarr's getting away with this a little bit?
Well, I mean,
he's got the own goal next to his name, though.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well,
he doesn't look at any point to Dylan Phillips. There's no reason for him to pass it to him, so he's not expecting it. And I just think that he also kind of overhits. He doesn't do his keeper a favour there at all.
He doesn't help him, but I think if you're certainly in a playoff final, you've got to be switched on. And I don't think the keeper was quite switched on. You've always got to be anticipating that the ball is coming to you next, and the goalkeeper wasn't doing that. It was kind of reminiscent, if Watford fans can take their mind back, God knows what year it was, to an Adi Mariappa own goal against Bristol City at Vicarage Road, where Scott Loach did pretty much the exact same thing as the Charlton keeper there. Adi actually intentionally passed it back to him, like, you know, it was a grass cutter, just, you know, bobbled. And Scott Loach took his eye off it, as he so often did, and it rolled under his foot and into the net. It was exactly like that. And watching the highlights now, that is he's a very, very thankful keeper, isn't he? Mm.
No, I think Naby Sarr needs to take some of the credit there. I do.
Some of the credit.
Yeah, it is. I mean, whether it's good or bad, there's credit due there for Naby Sarr. But anyway, thankfully, they won the game. He hits it far too hard. Anyway, let's talk about Watford. Moving on into September, shall we? As I said, following that defeat to Manchester United, you then kind of went a few games without a win, didn't you?
I think that was the first sort of, the Fulham away game was the first sort of disappointing result of the season. Yes, obviously, United at home, we lost, but you're kind of anticipating to lose that. But Fulham went 1-0 up inside 3 minutes, I think. And then they pulled it back sort of 10 minutes from the end, and could have won it towards the end as well. Mitrovic hit the bar. And I think a lot of Watford fans left that game feeling quite disappointed, because it was the perfect opportunity for us to bounce back after that United defeat. But to come away from Craven Cottage with just a point, and you know, the season that Fulham have turned out to have had, disappointing. But I guess good to see Slav back was the positive we took from that.
Yeah, I think it was... Well, the reception he got was good, and I thought... you know, the perfect start, really, because, you know, Fulham, obviously, their season's obviously well documented. It was important for us to start well, and I thought we did that. We did everything right, actually, but I think we just took our foot off the gas a little bit and allowed them back in the game. And then, obviously, as Andy was saying, Fulham probably finished the game definitely the stronger side. So we're probably quite relieved in a strange kind of way to come away with a point, but actually disappointed with the way the game progressed. But I've actually got a Scott Loach own goal that's just popped into my head. Well, not Scott Loach own
There's
goal.
There's more.
There are loads.
Burnley, 2010-11, when he smashed the ball into Dale Bennett's back.
That's a classic.
Yeah. I mean, it's not...
A personal favourite of mine, that one. Yeah.
Sorry, that just came flashbacks. I also just think, remember Chris Eagles, I think, scored that game.
Yes, and Iwolumo.
Eagles has crossed for Iwolumo.
I remember tweeting about this, now you say it, because yes, Scott Loach smacked it against Dale Bennett. I think that was the only goal Dale Bennett scored in his Watford career, and it was for Burnley.
That's why it was Iwolumo at the back post. Yeah. Eagles stands off across, and you just knew it was going in.
There you go. Full Watford.
No, I like that.
There you go. We're reminiscing tonight,
I think I might
Jake.
Need therapy after that, I think. Just reminiscing some terrible goalkeeping.
But... You must remember the Almunia and Chris Woods.
Chris Woods is that was whacked him straight into his face.
Straight into his face. Yeah. Then Chris Wood ran off like he scored the best goal in the world.
Yeah, of course I remember that one. That's absolutely brilliant. Carabao Cup. There was a strange one, wasn't it? This one was played in MK Dons,
it was an absolute...
And I remember the scenes as well, as Jacob Colshaw likes to call it, when Capu scored late on, wasn't it? This was an interesting game.
It was an absolute farce, wasn't it? Because we'd beaten Reading in the I think it was the second round of the Carabao Cup, third, whichever. Domingos Quina scoring that sensational strike. And then because Spurs' new stadium obviously wasn't ready, and Wembley was being used for prep for the Anthony Joshua fight, if I'm right, we had to play it at Milton Keynes, which was bizarre. Logical thing to do would have been to reverse the fixture, have it at Vicarage Road. Or, personally, give Watford a bye. Yeah. I don't think Spurs should have been allowed in the competition.
No, I agree.
And it was a bizarre game. And again, against another big side, Watford were arguably the better side.
It was a great game, wasn't it? I do remember.
It was a fantastic game. And I don't know if being in MK actually helped the atmosphere in the Watford end. The Spurs end, the atmosphere was pants. It was always going to be. Huge cheer for Dele Alli from the section of Milton Keynes Dons fans in the upper tier. It was just bizarre. They'd covered all like MK Dons advertising with Spurs stuff and pretending like it was their home ground. I'd rather they just embrace the fact that they're not at White Hart Lane and stop trying to make it. I get there's like a psychological element to it. But it was quite a good night. Almost didn't make the train home because of penalties. It was the last train, thankfully, because trains are so useless in England. It was
late
running
anyway.
So I was able to run and catch the final train back to Euston. but actually quite an enjoyable night because, yeah, obviously we lost, but penalty shootouts are quite fun sometimes.
And it's the Carabao Cup, isn't it? With the greatest of respect, you know, if you lose it, you're not going to kind of, you know, obsess over that too much, are you?
But we were pretty good. And yeah, when as Jacob so rightly said, when Capoue scored strongly deflected effort in the 90 something minute, it was a fantastic atmosphere in the away end. Yes, limbs all over the shop, I believe. There you go, Jacob. That one's for you.
Next kind of memory then that perhaps sticks out in your mind from the season as we go on. Personally, one for me was the win at Wolves. Was there anything kind of before that perhaps that sticks in the mind? Because that was a great win.
That was almost season defining for us. I think that was probably the moment because obviously the hype around Wolves and the way Wolves, you know, their season went. I think that was the moment we really believed that we could perhaps stake a claim for that European place. Maybe a bit prematurely, but I think, you know, we brought it down to earth a little bit when we lost to Newcastle. But I think that Wolves game was, for me, I think was a really defining moment because we scored two in a couple of minutes, really hit them hard. And also then managed the game really well because I remember I was working that day, unfortunately, so I wasn't, you know, I was kind of following it kind of nervously from afar. And, you know, the pessimist in me was thinking, Wolves are going to get one here. Yeah. And it's going to be a nervy finish and we're going to sit back and we're going to sit back and they're going to keep coming. But we managed it from what I understand really well in that game and I was really impressed by that.
Yeah, it was weird coming into it because we'd just lost to Arsenal and had been battered by Bournemouth at home. And Harry actually changed the shape. Deeney didn't start that game. Adam Messina started that game in place of Holobas and Success started up front by himself. And this was a game where Wolves hadn't changed their starting 11 for the whole season up to that point. But Watford turned up and, you know, when you're like a newly promoted side, we've obviously been through it, and a team just turns up in your home ground and just plays you off the park and says, it puts out a statement saying, this is what the Premier League's about. This is what you need to do in order to, you know, compete in the Premier League. Watford turned up and did that exact thing to Wolves. We turned up at Molineux and we were like, we're Premier League. We've been here for a while. This is how you do it.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever seen two goals scored within the same minute. It was 58 seconds between Capoue's long-range effort and Pereira's beautiful finish. Mm. And, you know, I just finished texting my dad and my sister to say, oh, we've scored. And then I look up and suddenly I didn't see the build-up. Pereira's in the box again. He shoots and scores. And I've now got to type another text to say it's 2-0. So it was a bizarre game. Yeah. But like Matt said, sort of season-defining. Watford were...
Would you go as far as saying one of your more kind of complete performances from the season?
It was one of the best performances of the season.
No, that one sticks out in my mind as well. Right, we need to take a break. We'll come back. We can continue to do this. Again, Watford fans, you can join in as well. If there are moments that you kind of want to talk about, particular games, flashpoints, and get in touch, at Love Sport Radio is the Twitter handle. We'll be back in a moment.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
So we've just spoke about that brilliant win away at Molineux against Wolves, the 2-0 win. Chaps, where do we go next from there? Kind of heading in towards Christmas, November time, aren't we now?
Yeah, we are. And I forget which. I think Watford are sort of certainly top half, around sort of 7th and 8th at this point. The fantastic win against Wolves is backed up with a comfortable home win against Huddersfield. We haven't had actually... my dad mentioned this, I forget when, but only recently. We don't win comfortably, usually. If we do win, it's by maybe the odd goal. We don't do 3-0 wins at Watford. So that Huddersfield win was, it was really, really comfortable, actually. And again, Watford just saying to them, like, we're Premier League. And again, it was the same starting 11 that played against Wolves.
Yeah, and I think, I know Huddersfield had this such a poor season, don't really... have any sort of flair players apart from Aaron Moy, I think was probably the only one you probably looked at before the game as a potential threat.
Yeah.
But even so, I think it was the professionalism, I think, was the most important thing coming off the back of obviously, you know, needing to kind of build on some of the results we'd had. That was kind of the game that if you were really being pessimistic, you thought Watford could drop points here just simply by being complacent. We didn't do that. We just got the job done. I think Andy's absolutely spot on. Obviously, we come into, you know, sort of November time. We obviously had a few hiccups, but I think that was a really important one, just to show that we can win games clinically, not as much as anything else.
And then it was disappointing then to come away from those two good wins to our next two results, a loss away at Newcastle and then a draw away at Southampton. I think the start of November, that was not a turning point, but definitely, certainly the Newcastle result, probably the most disappointed I've felt coming out of a game this season, because whilst we've sat here and we've spoken about how good we've been against the big six, we're kind of expected to lose anyway. But Newcastle, we should have been out of sight before half time. It was Deulofeu and Success up front that day. Deeney must have been injured at this point. I forget, to be honest. It's been a long season. But yeah, it certainly should have been at least a couple of goals up before half time. And then the sucker punch came in the second half. A nice free kick whipped in and a flick on at the near post went straight into the net. And Watford had no response. A fantastic tackle to stop Gray pinching an equaliser shortly before the end. And Watford were beaten. We obviously got our revenge against Newcastle in the FA Cup, which we'll speak about later. But then a very bizarre game at Southampton followed. And this was marred in all sorts of controversy. Park life.
Yes. Forever.
Forever park life. And, you know, Watford didn't have the best half. Pereira dawdled on the ball and Southampton went 1-0 up. And then second half, it all sort of kicked off. Watford should have had a penalty for a horrendous tackle on Chalobah. And I think it might have been Redmond, but whoever made the tackle was already on a yellow card.
I think it may have been a game changer if that happens.
Exactly. So they were on a yellow card, and that would have been a second yellow because the ball had gone. There was no attempt to win the ball. Should have been a penalty and a second red. However, wasn't given. And then Southampton to go at the other end and score what to me looked like a perfectly legitimate goal from Charlie Austin, which was then, of course, ruled out for offside. Watford go up the other end. Holobas scores a deflected effort and it goes in. The game ends 1-1. But that wasn't the whole talking point was around Charlie Austin's post-match interview, which was a thing of art, Matt.
It was. I mean, everyone, you know, remembers Troy Deeney's comments after Arsenal, but I think, you know, Charlie Austin, for me, we often criticise footballers for not being open and honest. Mm. And I think that was probably the most honest interview you could possibly give. The standard of officiating is terrible and we need to be more open about it. Forget the fines and everything else in the background.
But he didn't get fined for it, did he, Charlie Austin?
Well, yeah, no, you're right. He should have done. He didn't get fined for it. And then Deeney later in the season got fined after the Bournemouth game saying the ref bottled it.
Yeah.
Which, it's exactly the
and
same
Ryan
thing.
Ryan Fraser's face is an absolute picture as well.
But like Matt said, I loved that Charlie Austin came out and showed the passion that he did.
But by the letter of the law, by the book, he should have had some kind of fine for it.
He should have.
As funny as it was.
And Southampton might not have got their second goal because we should have had a penalty and Southampton should have been down to 10 men had VAR been used. So, you know, I loved his enthusiasm. I loved his interview. The Park Life video gave me such like joy the morning after. It was just on repeat. Just this is funny. I'm gonna play it again.
I only recently heard it again, and it's that good, isn't it? That
it fits.
If you haven't heard it for a while, it takes a little while before you realise that is Charlie Austin.
Yeah.
And not what's his name, Phil Daniels, isn't it? Who does the Park Life? Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's that good. Whoever made that video, by the way, I mean, I'm sure he should be like some kind of hero. People should know. I want to know who made that video.
You get some sort of social media award.
Yeah. If he didn't credit that when it first went out, because obviously then once it's out there, it just gets cloned, copied. But if he did not originally kind of claim that was his, then he's missed out big time because that was genius.
I hate that. That's why I always try and watermark anything that I think is half decent, because someone will take it and claim it as their own. But anyway, following on from that draw, we had...
Well, this was part of six games without a win off the back of the Huddersfield.
Yeah, we sort of slipped away a little bit from that seventh spot, sort of languishing in a proper mid-table obscurity. You know, a defeat at home to Liverpool, which for all of, 60 minutes was in the balance. Watford could have had a penalty if a foul on Will Hughes was given. But Liverpool obviously outclassed Watford on the day. We don't need to talk about that game. And then a really disappointing defeat against Leicester in early December.
I'm trying to remember it, which is weird.
It's one of those games, isn't it, that just sort of slips under the radar.
I do remember. Because
Madison scored a good
volley. It was a really good goal, wasn't it? And it was two counter-attacks, basically, wasn't it? I remember.
2-0 before half-time. It might have been a penalty, goal. Because classic, Vardy's played through. Ben hesitated. Vardy tries to take the ball around and Ben takes him down. Clear penalty. Had no complaints about that. The annoying thing was that was my birthday. And so watching my team lose 2-0 away from home on your birthday is the last thing anyone...
And then have to go and talk about it with me.
And then, I did come into the show the following day. Yeah, no, that was not fun. And then defeat at home to Manchester City. 2-1. Wasn't 6-0, thankfully. But a weird one, because City always looked comfortable, Matt. But Watford actually pushed them right until the end.
We did. You know what? I came out of this and I remember thinking, strangely, look quite optimistic, actually, just because we'd almost every game against City we'd played, maybe with the exception of maybe one, off the top of my head, where we were absolutely outplayed, couldn't get anywhere near them, didn't have any of the ball, didn't look threatening, almost holding on. I remember actually when we played them under Kike, I remember thinking, you know, we kind of kept it tight and then they score and then it completely unravels. I think that was De Bruyne's debut, actually. You're not expected to be competitive against these teams. And I think for us, even though we're at home, to almost feel kind of confident we could match some of these sides. And obviously we had the Tottenham result. We had United where we played okay in part. To have that and actually feel like we were almost ready to turn the corner, because after that really difficult spell, I just think we looked at the games we had coming up against Cardiff and West Ham and we knew that we had to win those. That almost gave us the impetus to do that off the back of how well we finished the game against City.
Yeah, it was disappointing, but a lot to be encouraged about. And then I think the next game was one I think every Watford fan was looking forward to when the fixtures were released.
Plastic snakes.
It was Everton away on a Monday night. Yeah. You're travelling up to Merseyside on a weeknight. Not a journey that anyone really fancies doing. But Watford came so close. We were, 30 seconds away from getting one over Silva.
Was it a Lucas Digne free kick?
It was, wasn't it? 96th minute. Looking back, this is probably the result that I would say hurts me most throughout the season, because...
Not a bad result, but just the nature of it.
Not a bad result at all.
If you'd won, it would have given you so much pleasure.
If Marco Silva wasn't at the helm at Everton and we'd gone there and drawn 2-2, I'd be very happy with the point. I was still obviously happy with the point, but... I think as football fans, we can get a bit tribal and we want the bragging rights.
Of course.
And to have got one over Silva on the first time that we met each other after everything that happened last season, that would have been sort of the icing on the cake, really, to the whole sort of Silva saga. And at this point, Silva wasn't, you know, turning up, pulling up trees
in his
Everton reign. He was actually under a lot of
questions were being asked, weren't they?
And Watford weren't great. First half, Richarlison, of course, scored the
naturally
opener. And then the second half was incredible. Like, the atmosphere in that away, and there must have only been about, I think, maybe 500, 600 of us there. It was incredible. One of the most entertaining nights I think I've had following Watford. Certainly a memorable one. Obviously, the two goals, the own goal, and then Decore header shortly after. And then I think we forget, Foster saved a penalty about a minute after we'd gone ahead. And at that point, when the penalty gets given, you're thinking, oh, bugger, you know, we just got 2-1 up. Yeah. Here we go. And honestly, for Jacob listening, scenes in the away end when that was saved, and you honestly thought it was our night. This is going to be our night. And then to see that free kick
sucker punch curled in,
yeah, it was Cabaselli with a handball, and you know, he has that kind of almost a bit of a liability in that he has a mistake in him almost every 90 minutes he plays, I guess.
Yeah, a bit of clumsiness. And, you know, you're just sort of hoping that doesn't go in, just for the simple, as Andy was saying, the bragging rights, the kind of, you know, you want to get one over Silva. And we were so close to doing that, particularly obviously having come from behind, Richarlison scoring as well. Mm. It was almost perfect. And then Ben saving the penalty. Gutting.
What annoyed me about that night is I got annual leave for the game. So I travelled up and was just on the supporters coach because it was a tenner. Fair enough. I didn't get back to my flat in London until 4:30 in the morning. And my alarm for work went off at 5:30.
Ouch.
I mean, it's my own fault, obviously. No one's fault other than my own. I was struggling at work the next day.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I worked, at the time, I got a new job now, but I worked in just a healthcare setting. And so I'd see my patient, and then luckily I had a bed in my room. So between, I didn't have a busy day, so between each patient, I would lock the door and just try and catch up on a bit of sleep. The things we do to follow our football club. But yeah, it's, you know, a point away from home, Everton certainly wasn't a bad result. But then that sort of kickstarted a little mini run shortly before Christmas. A bizarre 3-2 win against Cardiff at Vicarage Road, Matt.
Yeah, we were comfortable in that game and then took our eyes off the ball. And this was almost what we kind of feared would happen against Huddersfield, but didn't. And Cardiff, as I recall, finished pretty strongly. And I think we were kind of a little bit lackadaisical, maybe a little bit complacent in that one. Could have been, you know, it was a pretty comfortable game up until the sort of last 10-15 minutes. And then suddenly Cardiff, obviously buoyed by the fact that the game almost gone for them and got a goal, a bit of momentum for them, just a really, really kind of weird one, because what game that was so comfortable and probably would have ended quite comfortably, like the Huddersfield one, suddenly became quite a nervy, nervy finish.
I'm loving this. It's incredible, isn't it? Football moves so quickly. You almost forget some of these things without talking about it. All these games. Yeah, it's really, really good. So we're going to continue to do this until 8pm, but also we will do some little rumours. I've not really seen Javi Gracia being linked with a couple of clubs back in Spain. We'll discuss that. And also we'll kind of look ahead to next season's hopes as well. Until 8pm this evening.
5.58am. Love Sport.
So where are we going now? We've just gone through the Christmas period. We need to hurry on through this. We're dwelling over too many games here, chaps.
I think we are. But
so much happens. It's hard, isn't it?
A comfortable 2-0.
Just done Cardiff.
Just done Cardiff. A comfortable 2-0 win against West Ham just before Christmas. And actually going into Christmas, we were seventh. So we were officially best of the rest before the festive period. 2-1 defeat on Boxing Day at home to Chelsea, which included a superb Pereira goal. Do you know what? That one is kind of one that just sort of drifts over me a little bit. I don't really remember too much from that one.
I recall didn't Hazard round Ben and put it in.
That might have been it. Maybe that's why it's gone from my mind. But then
let's move on.
It was a sort of stubborn end to 2018 with a Newcastle draw against Newcastle at home. I think we were all kind of gearing up to finish the year with 3 points, and then Benitez set up his side really well defensively, and they were very organised and came up with a very, very stubborn point there. And then a balmy start to 2019.
With Bournemouth, wasn't it?
Bournemouth, yeah.
Six
goals in the first 40 minutes. I've never seen six goals scored in one... Well, in the first half of football. Yeah. I was about to say in one half of football, obviously 7-2 against Blackpool, there were seven in one half. Okay. We've seen a 3-2 before half-time at Watford. Never a 3-all in my lifetime. It was ridiculous. 2-0 up, and then Bournemouth get one back, and I'll hold my hands up. In the stand, I was thinking, they're going to equalise. They did about 2 minutes later. And then about 30 seconds later, Watford went 3-2 up. And then about a minute later, Bournemouth went and equalised. It was bonkers.
It absolutely was. And I mean, I do feel for all the sports journalists who were writing copy that night. There's only one thing worse than that in the sports journalism world, and that is a last minute goal where you have to rewrite your copy.
Yep.
Thankfully, there was no goals in the second half. So things did calm down. Mm. And obviously, we had Deeney's comments and Ryan Fraser's fantastic facial expressions. But Bournemouth's another one as well, because obviously, we've had previous looking back to Lee Pro, but sending off Angelo in like a minute, two minutes, or whatever.
Yeah, mistaking him for a 6-foot black man.
Exactly. Yeah, that was good. So we don't, you know, and we obviously have this thing with Bournemouth, slight thing. Maybe he's kind of taken a backseat with the Everton thing this year. Kind of a petty rivalry of sorts, if you can extend it to that.
But then, obviously, after the Bournemouth game, we started our FA Cup campaign against non-league Woking.
Down at the Lathwaite.
It was a fantastic day. And actually, the friendship that seems to have blossomed from that game has sort of continued. You know, Woking wished Watford well in the FA Cup final.
Oh, nice.
Watford wished Woking well in their playoff final. So it's kind of what the FA Cup was all about, really. You know, Woking came into this game with no expectation.
Yeah,
really,
nothing
just
to lose.
Just going to enjoy the day. And we came in, you know, even though we were, what, 90 places above them, terrified that we'd slip up on a banana skin. But overall, a comfortable victory. And then one of the best away games of the season, a 2-1 victory away at Crystal Palace with Tom Cleverley's brilliant volley in the final sort of 10 minutes. That was a fun afternoon, wasn't it, Matt?
It was, and it was one of, for Tom in particular, like one of the kind of highlights of his season. He's obviously been a peripheral figure at times, so I was really pleased. Obviously, he had that injury layoff as well. To come back and make such a crucial intervention at Selhurst Park is always good. And obviously, we had a knack of getting the better of Crystal Palace in narrow games this season, which is always nice.
Yeah, always nice to get one over them, isn't it? That doesn't usually happen in Watford terms. I think we've probably got the worst record against Crystal Palace than any other club that we've faced. So always nice to beat them. Frustrating draw against Burnley followed that before our 2-0 win against Newcastle in the FA Cup.
And so then we made 11 full changes, wasn't it?
That was disgraceful, 11 full changes.
Chris Sutton went into a rant.
A very famous rant now before the game. And then a disappointing night at Wembley against Spurs. Obviously, we went 1-0 up in the first half with Craig Cathcart header. Still not sure how the ball went in the back of the net. And then
too late ones.
Song had just returned from Asian Cup duty. You know, this was where Spurs were without Kane and Ali, both injured. We were praying that Son, South Korea, would win. I think it must have been their quarterfinal before the game, and they lost. So he was back, and he ran us ragged in the second half and scored two goals there to confirm defeat at the home of football. And then I don't know whether it was a good point against Brighton down on the south coast at the start of February. That was the game where Ben Foster saved
with his
absolutely
knees,
everything.
Wasn't it?
Knees, face, everything that came at Ben Foster that day stayed out of the net.
Yeah, and I think if you're going to pinpoint a Ben Foster moment where people put him in the player of the year conversation, then the Brighton performance was often the one people pick out, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And then the return of Silva 2.0 for the return leg, the return leg at Vicarage Road, which ended in victory for the Orns with that Craig Cathcart no-look pass to Will Hughes to set up Gray at the back post. That was arguably pass of the season from a central defender of all people.
Do you think we're going to be having these conversations about Marcus Silva next season, by the way?
Do you think we've done it now?
Are we done?
It's done.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah.
It's just a normal game now against Everton again.
4 points, you know, and they finished above us in the table. So each side kind of has a bit of bragging rights, I guess. And we've had our fun. We won the games. I'm sure there'll be some people that chip in on social media beforehand about it, and you know, it kind of adds a little bit to the games, I think. But in terms of the show next season, we're done with Silva. He's signed to the history books. Fun night under the lights at Loftus Road to continue our FA Cup journey before a thrilling 5-1 victory away at Cardiff on a Friday night. Which included a Gerard Delafeu hat-trick,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, I think, one of the most clinical performances I think we've probably seen from a Watford side. And obviously for Delafeu, who's always been this kind of nearly man, you know, has the quality on his day. We saw it later in the season, obviously in that famous semi-final win. But critics of Delafeu will say he doesn't do it enough. He's got all the ability in the world. That was one of the days where he really shut up a lot of his critics, and we were kind of saying, well, this conversation about Gray potentially starting was put to bed for a bit because Delafeu answer those critics with a really emphatic performance.
And the four-goal advantage that we gained from that game was swiftly lost to a 5-0 defeat at Anfield. We don't need to talk about that.
But very quickly, with the games against Liverpool and Man City, were they the two outstanding? Were they, by far and away, the two best sides you saw this season?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a word, yeah.
But were Man City, then, would you say better? Because the two games against Liverpool, you could obviously, going on your results against them, you could, I'd believe, if you sat here and said, well, Liverpool are the better side.
On results, yeah. But I think the way City played, maybe, it's difficult. I think they were very similar for the games at Vicarage Road. I think Watford were just rubbish at Anfield. And I think, well, no, if you base it like that, because we were actually really good at the Etihad in the first 48 minutes. We were excellent. But when City turn it on, my word, they're a good side to watch, aren't they? I think Jake's just changing the topic because up next it was a last-minute winner against Leicester City.
I didn't see that.
And then we had the game at the Etihad, which for all of Watford's hard work, as Matt said, in the first 48 minutes was undone by a horrendous refereeing decision. And then followed the FA Cup quarterfinal against Palace. And at this point, Matt, was this the point where you started dreaming about FA Cup glory? Because a lot of the big sides had gone out by that point.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the character really in that game, because obviously going in front, and then obviously having Michy Batshuayi equalise off a mistake, basically from nothing. Very much a game that could have, you know, a goal that could have derailed our performance, really, and we didn't allow it to happen. Pereira, who obviously had come in for some criticism for not quite being as you know, influential as he was in the first half of the season, pops up in a game he was pretty quiet in with an assist from nothing, which Andre Gray duly pokes home. So that was brilliant. And obviously, I think psychologically, to go to Wembley again, knocking out Palace, maybe exercising some demons, because obviously what happened with Palace twice. It was always nice. It was nice to beat Palace. I was in the company of two Crystal Palace fans. That was brilliant. Just to go to Wembley, I think, was a great occasion for our fans.
And a frustrating defeat away at United, which we spoke about, arguably one of our performances of the season. We were that good. A thumping of Fulham. And then that set us up very nicely for that FA Cup semi-final, Matt.
I mean, what do we say aside from the Gerard Delafeu show? Obviously, Gray got the nod, which was probably justified, I think, on the basis of his match-winning performances from the bench. Didn't quite work out for him. Missed that chance really early on Matt Doherty then puts Wolves in front. I think I distinctly remember having a conversation with you saying we need the next one. Mm. And I think we both were in agreement with that. And then Raul Jimenez pops up. And from our vantage point, we couldn't see the mask. We didn't know what happened. But you know, Jimenez with a great finish. He almost just sort of gets in between the two centre-backs. De La Feu comes on, gets one from nothing. And suddenly there's a glimmer of hope. He went from not despair, but a lot of frustration. A lot of the people around me at Wembley were kind of in that same mould. Mm. And De La Feu turns it on, wins it in extra time.
Yeah, and I'm sure that game will forever live in the memories of Watford fans. Incredible day, wasn't it, at Wembley? Watford against Wolves in that FA Cup semi-final. I need to take a break when we come back. We will. We'll round up the rest of the season, perhaps how it tailed off, and talk about the FA Cup final, if that's okay, and also look ahead to next season and clear up a couple of rumours as well that's been flying around regarding Watford today.
From Adams Park to Wembley, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
So, following that win at Wolves very quickly, league form kind of somewhat tailed off, didn't it, unfortunately?
Yeah, I think after the semi-final win, you know, a lot of the chat was about Europe. Watford were in eighth, I think, with a game in hand, and into the FA Cup final. So the chances of Watford qualifying for Europe were looking good at this point. And then it all sort of turned in the next game at home to Arsenal. That dodgy goal, a rare Ben mistake, Aubameyang scored. And then the Deeney red card, which I really do believe was a turning point towards the end of the season. Such a crucial moment, because Watford should have beaten Arsenal. We were the better side with 10 men, obviously didn't. A comfortable win against Huddersfield the following game. But then it really showed the lack of Deeney's presence against Southampton, and especially against Wolves in the following games. Obviously, the Southampton game, we saw the fastest ever Premier League goal. But I don't think Watford were all there in terms of like having a leader on the pitch for those two games. And I think we really, really missed Deeney, because we just didn't look like we had any sort of backup ideas.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think we went from being a team that could almost be second best in games, or even not create that many chances, but be clinical when those chances came. And I think we went the opposite. It kind of exposed what we'd talked about all season, that our defence needs reinforcements. And we talked all season about how well we'd done with the players that we had. And that really got, you know, the glaring kind of need of a centre-half came home in that final month. And then obviously not taking chances in games. And games almost like the West Ham one is case in point, really, which got away from us. A game that was never probably a 4-1 game. But
And then after that defeat against Wolves, I think that the chat for seventh had died down, and all of our hopes were now fully focused, I think, on the FA Cup final. And a disappointing end to the season, obviously a defeat away at Chelsea, and then that hammering by the Hammers at Vicarage Road on the final day. And then we don't need to talk about anything else.
No.
Nothing else happens. No.
Well, look, we are short on time this evening. A couple of other things we do need to talk about before we shoot off. Adam Leventhal, we've spoken to him a number of times on the show, a voice on TalkSport, Sky Sports, a big Watford fan, tweeted today regarding a story surrounding your coach, Javier Gracia, wasn't it? What's the story here?
There's been a couple of rumours, as there always is in the off-season, that Real Betis and Seville are interested in bringing Javier Gracia back to Spain to manage next season. I think, do you have the Adam's tweet
yes.
in front of you? Do you mind reading it out?
So Adam says, regarding Sevilla wanting head coach Javier Gracia at the Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan Stadium. Thanks for that, Adam. I've been told from key sources at Sevilla that rumours are unfounded and there's absolutely nothing in the story.
So there we go. Happy days.
It's a bit
worrying, though, when you see something like that, because usually when you hear things like that, because usually there's some basis of truth to those sorts of things. And it's just how football works. And, you know, I wouldn't blame Javi if he wants to go back to Spain.
Exactly.
And manage in Spain.
You think it would interest him in some sense.
Exactly. I'd be disappointed if he goes. It wouldn't be like a Marco Silva thing, because he'd got us to an FA Cup final, our best ever Premier League finish, for goodness sake. So he'd get my best wishes, but I really, really hope he doesn't.
Yeah, sentiments I'd agree with. I don't think we'd begrudge him. Sevilla would be a step up if they came calling. La Liga is no doubt is a place that he has his eyes on one day, but I have a feeling he's got unfinished business at Watford, particularly with the way the season ended and with the recruitment we hope to do.
Yeah, no, and I'd agree. A little bit of transfer rumour as well regarding João Pedro. I have to confess, I know very little of him and was also completely unaware he was already your footballer, but he's been linked with a move away from Watford already.
Join the club, because there's so many players on Watford's book that none of the fans have heard of.
I have no idea.
In fact, I remember earlier in the season at a fans forum, Ben Foster was asked about the likes of Ben Wilmot, Penaranda and Cucho Hernandez.
Yeah, yeah.
And when the fan who asked him that question said the Cucho Hernandez, he's never played for Watford.
Yeah.
Ben just looked like,
didn't even know who he
was. What? Who is that? And he just went, yeah, no, he's really good. He's a great talent. Yeah. So there we have. That's how the scouting network works at Watford. That's how the Pozzo model functions. You know, we've basically got a Richarlison 2.0 in João Pedro from the same
Fingers
club.
Crossed.
Same club. He's due to arrive at the club in January next year, because that's when I believe he'll be 18 and allowed a work permit. All the boring legal stuff around transfers. But he scored a hat-trick the other night, and I think that's kind of what sparked this rumour off, is that this kid's pretty good.
Yeah. So Liverpool want to try and nab him already.
Liverpool are going to try and nab him. He is our player. And in order to do so, I think they'd have to pay us, rumoured to be around 20 million euros, I think, for the striker.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's our scouting system in a nutshell, isn't it? Just trying to unearth some gems. Richarlison obviously is a case in point of players that no one's heard of, but turns out to be pretty good. We've had a few duds. Let's hope that João Pedro is not a dud.
Yeah.
So as we mentioned, this is the last time we're going to see you for a little while now. Now, when we get back, when we're back in the studio, what you kind of want to see happen? I mean, the window will be open, but, you know, business tends to happen a little bit later on in that. But what are hopes, aspirations for perhaps transfers and then going into next season? Can you really kind of better on what we did this season, top half finish in an FA Cup? It's going to be hard to do, isn't it?
It's very hard to do. I think I definitely want a top half finish. Whilst it's tricky, isn't it? Because we've got our highest points total ever, but
at the same time, a little bit disappointed.
Yeah. I definitely... So we might finish in the top half next season, but finish on 49 points instead of 50. So what's the progress there? The progress surely has to be the number of points that we've won.
Yeah, I suppose so.
So I do want the top half finish. I want our performances to reflect that in the table, or the table rather, to reflect our performances. I do want two new centre-backs, decent centre-backs. I'm sorry, Craig and AD, I love you, but I think it's time we moved on. And I do want a striker, because I think one day we're going to have to move away from Troy. That day will sadly come.
Yeah, he's 31 this year, isn't he?
So, exactly. And there's a lot of the times whereby when we lump the ball up top, if Deeney's not there, we have no aerial presence, really. Mm. We don't seem to have, if De La Feu and Pereira aren't on it, we don't really score goals, I don't think, without Troy on the pitch, or have that leader there as well. So that's what I kind of... The dream would be a couple of centre-backs, someone with some leadership qualities, and a striker who can do everything.
don't want much.
That's the dream.
Can I just start by saying that it's good we're disappointed.
Yeah,
in a way,
because it is, I agree.
Because I think it shows how far we've come, but it also shows that there's more to come, and that we are trying to be progressive. Duxbury and Pozzo, they know what they want, and then they're not afraid to kind of have a kind of clear mindset of where they want to be. So. An £8 to £10 million centre back, I think, is realistic. We need one. Kaká, I still think, can do a job if he's got a good partner with him. I think he's a bit vulnerable when he's a bit, the communication kind of collapses. So definitely a centre back, maybe two, as Andy says. A winger we desperately need, just to give us some options. If we want to play the inverted system, that's fine. But we need a winger and a striker. I think there's too much on Deeney. Success, I like his enthusiasm, I like his work rate, but he's not a goal scorer, certainly in his current role. We definitely need someone else. And for Andre Gray, all his great stuff he's done, is he going to be a leading man? Probably not. So for me, it's a striker, a winger and a centre-back.
It's a crucial transfer window for Watford, isn't it? Because, you know, Leicester, Everton, Wolves will all throw money at it and will all improve. And if we want to be serious about our ambitions for Europe, we need to keep up with them.
Yeah.
And it's a big summer down at
Keeping players, though, as well. I mean, is there any kind of fears? Because last summer it was all about Doucouré, wasn't it? I feel those rumours have gone away a little bit, despite the fact he's still had a very good season. But yeah, I'm not seeing much speculation regarding your players, which I suppose is kind of a nice thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. It has died down a little bit. I think Doucouré, to be fair to him, is the one who blows his own trumpet in terms of departures. He does want European football. I believe he deserves it because he's good enough.
Yeah, he is, absolutely.
And if someone comes in that can give him that opportunity, then I think we'd wish him well. But I do hope we get a squeeze another season out of him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, look, chaps, that's it.
That's it.
It's done. Over.
It's been a long season. Isn't it? Thank you, Jake.
No, thank you, chaps.
Thanks,
so, have a well-earned time off, and we'll go again next season. And we'll see if Watford can go a little bit better. But enjoy your summer, chaps. Thank you very much. You've been listening to the Watford Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio.